Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's see, last week we made it to chapter 14, verse 18. And a notable miracle had just happened. Paul and Barnabas was preaching, the lame man got healed, and we made it down to verse 18. They wanted to call him Mercurius and Jupiter, and they rejected that. In verse 18 it says, "And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead." And remember, Paul had that in, he had the vision where, he went to heaven, went to the third heaven. In the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell, because when you die, you look the same. And most theologians believe this is the when it happened, when he was stoned. And the enemy wanted to buffet him, remember. He said, okay, verse 20, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." And most believe in theologians.
I'm not trying to interrupt you here, mm-hmm. but look at the mindset of these people, back then, right there. Okay, these were total pagans that believed in worship pagan gods, mm-hmm. and they thought that Paul and Barnabas mm-hmm. were gods.
Yeah.
See, because the mindset, they had never seen nothing as powerful before. Mm-hmm.
And this is the reaction of seeing the miracle. Some people got saved and wanted more. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't want to believe on Jesus and got mad. Some people thought they were Mercurius and Jupiter and wanted to worship them. Mm-hmm. And the enemy was behind the wrong thoughts. And he the enemy activated his people according to whatever lie that they believed. And one night I was asleep and I dreamt about that was a Jehovah Witness boy. He was trying to tell me against Jesus, And I got grieved in the spirit, and to the point I woke up out of the dream. But when I woke up, I saw a demon. It had 9 heads on him, and each head represented a different lie that it told. And I said, "Get out of my house in Jesus' name." And I just looked at him, and he didn't move. And I said, "Lord, that's one ugly demon." And he said, "That's the essence of who he is." Wow. And then he faded away, And I learned something from that. But each head was a different lie that it told. And demons persuade people according to whatever they can persuade them with. It doesn't really matter to Satan what lie you believe, as long as you believe one. And as long as I can, he can control you with those things. And there are many different types of religions that, if he knows that if he can get man to go to God without Jesus Christ as their Savior, he knows they're still in the world and he got control somewhere. And that's what, that was his play. And that same thing here. They worshiped idols, so he persuaded them with the idols. The Jews, they didn't believe on Jesus, so he used the law, their misinterpretations of the law, to rule them. But when nobody could deny the man got healed that was lame from his birth. Nobody expected to see him walking around. And this man didn't die. He continued to walk around every day. It was a miracle, and it happened, and it can't be reversed. But and people are no different now. They will, when a miracle happens, some will want to get saved, some will want to forget about it, some of them might go get drunk, and not talk about it. But this is the response of people. The enemy, if he has place, he'll use it. When and then they were around about him, and he woke up. I believe they would believe in God for his life, and he came back. And this fits the whole situation, because when the enemy saw, knew that he had sent to heaven, now this man who was on fire is going to really be on fire.
Right.
So he has to do something to aggravate him. And so he used a thorn in the flesh. And this had to be the same season, because Brother Horton just read about the girl that was demon-possessed, and she was harassing him. Every city he went to, this was happening. But he said, he cried out about this three times. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Right.
Now, what's included in grace besides salvation? One thing is authority over Satan.
That's right, exactly.
And the Lord didn't tell him plainly. He just said, my grace is sufficient. And he knew what to do. And he, over here in chapter 16, he rebuked that he got rid of his thorn in the flesh. That had to be it, because he said it was a messenger of Satan in the other scriptures. A messenger of Satan is not a disease. You know, this was a person speaking on Satan, doing Satan's work to aggravate him. Okay, chapter 21, verse 21, he said, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God, because there was so much opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their style of preaching and ours is different. They were in a nation, and there were no Christian nations. There were Christians in pagan nations.
Mm-hmm.
And people would take it however they took it. And it could be very dangerous. They laid the groundwork. We're in a nation, it's against the law to kill people, murder people for any reason. And we can preach the gospel without the interference that they had. The enemy is greatly limited because we have laws, we have even traditions. You know, most people know you don't kill the preachers. You leave them alone, or you get saved. You know, it's easier to get the gospel out here. And now people, where there's places where there's nothing but drought and desolation, and when you preach the gospel there, it gives them hope. And sometimes they'll receive it, and it's more precious to them.
That's the reason why Reinhard Bucky can have 3 million people get saved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very effective where there's, but you go to a place where people eat every day and they're rich and they do what they want, and you tell them about Jesus, and you can't
Don't shove that down my throat.
Huh?
Don't shove that down my throat.
Yeah, it's different. Even in our times, after World War II, a lot of people that came home from the war, they went to church. And in the 60s, everything started to prosper. And they wanted prayer out of school. I knew a man that had a cleaners, and it was, he made a fortune cleaning clothes, because men were going to church. They were getting their suits cleaned. In the 80s, he'd taken all that old equipment he had bought. He had paid for all of it. He had the steam system. He had a building that could probably fit inside of these tables here. And he had all that steam equipment in there. And he didn't have the business he once had, because people didn't go to church like they did. And you know, that's how it all happened. But in the 60s and 70s, people were still going to church. But over time, people die, and their children don't always follow them. You know, people don't, the culture's changed.
As a result of that, each generation has gotten worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. And you're going to always have people that do go to church and know their God. But mainstream, you know, it falls away according to the enemy's deception. It's a setup. But when people that have conviction die out, you know, if there's nobody to replace them, you know, that can be a gap. this is a vicious war, and we have to train our children to follow God. We have to teach them, everything about God that we can learn. Because we have to train them how to win against Satan. And then they're going to have to take the torch and run with it themselves. The Lord has, he's showing us the truth in all this. But their style of preaching, it came with much more tribulation. And now we can preach through devices, through the internet. And now the Lord's giving dreams of, Joel, Joel chapter 3, that young men would see visions and the old men would dream dreams. That's happening. God is giving people dreams. They're putting it on YouTube. They're sending it to people on Facebook. Even pastor said, all your friends, take time and do something, a five-minute lesson and share it with all your friends. These kind of things work because while the enemy's out there bothering people, they want hope. And the enemy, he done aggravated some people. They want to know something. And when I send those texts out about the YouTube links, and it's effective. Well, they didn't have all that. They had to go and be there, and people had to listen and get saved, and then they had to leave. So if you didn't get saved then, your chances became slimmer because they could tell you things that you needed to know right then to keep you strong. When I first got saved, that was a guy named Chris Lucas. I'll never forget him. He said, Thurston, now that you're on God's side, the enemy's going to try to get you back on his side. And he said, all kind of things will happen. People will do things to make you angry. Women will flirt with you. Things will go wrong. It's just the devil. People might steal something you like. And as it happened, I was able to laugh about it, because if he didn't say that, I may have thought, well, why is all this happening? But he pointed out the enemy, and I was watching. And then he said, you have authority over Satan. And he went to a good church. He went to the Church of Nazareth. I really don't know their doctrine, but this guy was. He told me some foundational things, and I was able to stand. When I probably would have stood, but it would have been worse. But what he told me, it gave me a leg to stand on. And he received the Holy Spirit baptism before I did. But they taught that the Holy Spirit was for whoever God gives it to. And I wanted the Holy Spirit, but the way he taught was like, well, it's up to God whether you receive the baptism or not. But other than that, everything else was accurate. Another guy came and said, if you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you ain't even saved. So, I said, okay, two doctrines. Lord, you got to help me with this. I said, one of them right, one of them wrong. Come to find out, both of them were right and wrong in some ways. The truth is, the Holy Spirit is for every believer.
That's true.
And God has already decided to give it to you. And before you receive the baptism, you have to be a Christian in the first place to even receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you're rejected if you don't. And that's in John. He said, Jesus pointed out only people that believe will receive him. So, years went by and we got all that cleared up. So. But people, if you listen to people without studying, you can stay off track. The things that I wasn't certain about, I left it alone until the Lord cleared it up. And because it never really sat right that if a person doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're not God's people.
Yeah.
Because when I preached at my dad's church, he talked to them. They didn't speak in tongues. The message I got was as if they were God's people. And I said, okay, there's something that I didn't know or I wasn't sure about. But in time went by and I found, the scriptures for it. And but the enemy is always trying to incite, usurp his will against God's will and incite people against God, get people on the wrong track with the wrong thoughts. Then he can destroy their lives.
Amen.
And this is the tribulation that they were going through. If people, if everybody was receptive, there would be no tribulation. But people have their thoughts, and some of them, as bad as they can be, will become some of the most devout Christians, just like Paul, because he sympathized with all the people who were wrong. He sympathized with the Jews, the people that were taught wrong, and he stayed the course anyway. When he went to heaven, that encouraged him the more. The enemy had to find a way to get this word out of this man. If you take a Saturday and study the Word of God and get charged up, the enemy's going to try to find a way to steal that charge from you. And he has to do it externally. He can't do it internally. He has to set fires on the outside to get you to be distracted. And it's just like Ray said, when you believe in God for something, usually things will get worse or feel worse. And then you win. Don't ever turn your faith off. If your faith is on, it's on. You can't see the operations of heaven. You see whatever's in front of you, and you feel whatever's around you. But when your faith is on, things are changing. And they don't. When Daniel was believing God for the answer, he stuck with it. 21 days?
21.
Yeah. He kept his faith on, and then the answer came. And he decided, I eat no meats, and I drink no pleasant food, I drink water till this happens. No meat, no sweets, no salt. He ate beans or whatever, no taste. We're going to get this answer. And he did it. His faith was on. As long as your faith is on, the works are happening. Everything else is just as fire Satan said, and you can destroy that.
He was taking that flesh down, so it couldn't interfere with him's expectation and believing God.
Yeah.
Sometimes that flesh can get in that way and just take over.
It's the weakest link.
Fixing to get down in that's where they fasted and prayed.
Yeah.
Fasted
and prayed.
It goes together.
It do.
That's the reason why you can become. If you do that on a regular basis and really seek the Lord and everything, you know, because you're seeking first the kingdom of God first, you're fasting, allowing your spirit, man, you'll become a Navy SEAL for God.
Yeah, say that again.
You'll become a Navy SEAL. And where if you operate in the demonic realm, you'll be able to cast out demons rather than a regular Christian is not fasting. But they may be praying, but they're not fasting. They'll be able to do more exploits than that person before God.
Actually, the casting out demons is easy. The big fight is this one. Yeah. If you can win here,
that's exactly
the rest of them is a cakewalk. If you can win this battle inside. And that's what prayer and fasting does. I used to pray and fast. I wouldn't watch TV, and I focused on not eating. And I learned that if you're fasting, take in the word as much as you can take in. And enjoy it. Enjoy God's presence, enjoy the word. You'll probably get to where you're not even missing the food. and you get your spirit man gets stronger, you become more receptive. And when it happens, whatever you're after happens, you won. And the Lord, while you're at it, the Lord will train you. So this was their life, and they fought a good fight. They had all opposition against them, and they won. And it changed the whole world. If they didn't do that, the world probably wouldn't have got to this point. They'd probably killed each other. But once the gospel got around the world, technology just boomed. The last 150 years, technology. This, all these skyscrapers still, electricity, this is not that old. You know, 200 years ago, most of it wasn't even thought of. 100
years ago.
Yeah, 120 years ago, there were no cars. All right, we out of time. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing. Help us to multiply in you. In every way, help us to Multiply your will on the earth. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God.